message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We started a series last week. And the series is Victory Over Financial Pressure. Victory Over Financial Pressure. And last week, if you are here last week, can you wave your hand to Jesus? Ooh, last week was a bump. How many of you agree with me? Hey, it was too sweet. If you miss it, please just book the tape straight away. One of the most insightful teachings I've had in several months on financial freedom. Once again, let's celebrate Papa. It was a deep teaching. And I pray that God will bless you, sir, in the name of Jesus. We are continuing in this same series tonight, Victory Over Financial Pressure, Part 2. I want you to know, like Papa told us last week, that you are destined to be victorious in life and in destiny. Money is not supposed to be a problem for you. The problem of money is leading many to the state of anxiety, depression, and sleeplessness. You know, some people cannot sleep because they don't have something to spend. Somebody who did not eat dinner, lunch, maybe had breakfast, pap, in the morning with sugar, cocoa with sugar, akamu, with some things like that. And afternoon, zero. Night, zero. Because of lack of money. How do you expect such a person to sleep? Of course, there will be depression. Of course, there will be anxiety. But God wants us to live a prosperous life. In the book of John chapter 3, 3 John verse 2, just one chapter. The Bible says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. The desire of God concerning you and I is that we live a prosperous life. Is that you live a prosperous life. God did not create you and I to live a life of mediocrity or a life of bondage or oppression, especially in the area of our finances. Gone are the days when people tell you that for you to be born again, you have to be poor. I tell you, it is more difficult to be born again when you are poor. Because when you are poor, you are tending to sin more. You will be tempted to commit more sin. Because you want to survive. But when you have abundance, you will not be tempted to do certain things. It is practically impossible for Dangote to be tempted to go and steal sugar. Or steal rice. It's almost practical. Or steal cement. Or salt. Or macaroni. Why? Because he's the originator. Praise the Lord. Have you heard that Bill Gates have gone to steal computer? It's not possible. Why? Because it's less so much. Praise the Lord. God wants you and I to operate at the level of prosperity. And last week we looked at some of the factors that put people under financial pressure. The thing is this. God has made prosperity to be available. But why do people still be under pressure? Why people still suffer from lack of prosperity? It's as a result of certain things. And Papa took us through five of such things. Number one, he talked about impulsive buying and extravagant lifestyle. A lot of people buy things at impulse. Guguru come, I buy. Epa come, I buy. Donut come, I buy. Chichi, I did there. Zobo, give me. Kuli kuli, I did take. Gala, I did. Everything. You know, I'm not against Ashwebi. But some times ago, I told my wife, I said, Ashwebi has just expired in this family. Because it's a waste of money. And she said, and then we're looking forward to an auntie of mine, either the daughter or the son, I can't remember now, getting married. She said, and this auntie of mine is very forceful and domineering. She said, ah, your auntie will not allow you. You will buy by force, by force. I said, me, I will not buy. So when my auntie called me and said, Ashwebi, I can't remember how many thousand. I think for my mom, she said maybe 30,000. I don't know.
And for myself and my wife, maybe 50,000 or whatever. I can't remember, but some thousands. I said, Mutigboma. I did not say no. Neither did I say yes. I just said, Mutigbo. 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, Mutigbo noni. And the day came, I went for the ceremony, and I looked gorgeous. That has not changed my name or reduced me. So impulsive buying is one of the things that makes people to waste their resources. Number two is lack of planning. Papa dealt with this extensively. Who among you thinketh to build a house will not sit down first to count the cost, to know if he can finish before he set out? Planning. A lot of times, a lot of us don't plan. Failure to plan is planning to fail. When you fail to plan, you're actually planning to fail. Praise the Lord. Number three is unreasonable assumption. And I love this one. Papa gave us an example. When you assume that an uncle will come and sponsor your wedding, an assumption, and your wife has given birth, you said, if I cook turkey and I can buy malt, then you go and borrow malt from me, from Yasikira, 10 crate. You come to Harvest Feed Farm and buy turkey and on credit. And you said, when people come, they will give me money. People will come and they will not give you money. You know why? Everybody has their own issue. You don't assume that people will do certain things. You don't work by other people's pulse. And you don't work by other people's assumption. Assumption can kill. You know, in the military, the word assumption does not exist. In the military, you can't say, we are going for an operation and we assume that the enemy will be at this location. You are planning to die. In the military, the word assumption is not in their dictionary. A soldier will never use the word assumption. Never. You know why? Assumption kills. Praise the Lord. You cannot assume my rifle will work. And because of that, you refuse to test it. That's why they do what they call drill. They will test each and every of their equipment, including their boots. They will run with the boots. Put on the gear, carry out the load, and run with it to ensure they will never assume that the boot is okay. No, there is nothing like assumption. Praise the Lord. Number four was disobedience. And a lot of time people work in disobedience to instructions. And because of these, they end up suffering under financial pressure. Number five is self-deceit. And this one is so rampant, especially among the young ones, the youth. Self-deceit. You know you cannot afford something, then you still believe that you can do it in my place. In my place, they will say, the size of the bird is the size of the nest. In 1 year, in 1 year. If the bird is big, the nest will be big. If the bird is small, the nest will be small. You know who you are. You know your income. You know the status of your parents. Then you deceive yourself and said, I have to belong to a class. Then you go and rent an apartment of 250,000. When your parents can only afford an apartment of 45,000. Then mommy and daddy managed to send 60,000 because you have padded some things up. You will be under pressure. And if you are not careful, you can do things that you are not supposed to do. So we are going to continue today and look at some other factors that can put people under financial pressure. Number one is love of money. Brethren, money is good. Don't misquote me. He that says money is not good, people say that person is dead. I don't want to agree and I don't want to disagree. So I'll keep that aside. Love of money is the root of all evil. Not money is the root of all evil. The Bible says money answereth all things. Even the gospel needs money. I tell you, if you know how much it spends on a daily basis to run this church, you will be shocked. So money is important. But the love of money will put you under pressure. You are chasing money. Pastor, what are you saying? I need money and I love money. And you are saying that will put me under pressure. Yes, you come under pressure.
And I will explain. You see, when you love money more than you love God, the giver of wealth, you put yourself under pressure of money. Praise the Lord. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8, I think verse 18, the Bible says, remember ye the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee the power to do what? To get wealth. So when you love money more than you love God, when you love money more than you love God, you bring yourself under financial pressure. The Bible says in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil. The Bible did not say money is the root of all evil. It said the love. Praise the Lord. Our greatest love is supposed to be for God and not for mammon. The Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other things shall be added unto you. And all these things that you are seeking after will be added. Praise the Lord. You know, I love this scripture so much. It did not say it will be given, because it has been given as a child of God. But when you love God, they will not be added. They come in fullness. And that is why when Abraham left the world, he left the mama, he left his father's house, he left everything, and he decided to follow after God. The Bible says God blessed him so much. He was tremendously blessed. Praise the Lord. Can we turn our Bible to the book of Proverbs chapter 23 verse 5. Proverbs chapter 23 verse 5. Where thou set thy eyes upon that which is not, for riches certainly make the seer's wings, they fly away as an eagle towards the heavens. When you seek after money, you get the money flies away. Why? Because the love of God is absent. It is the blessings of God that hardened no sorrow. Every other blessing that comes outside of God, we add sorrow to it. And that is why those that go to do Yahoo, Yahoo, Yahoo plus, Yahoo, Yahoo negative plus, Yahoo, Yahoo whatever, they continually carry sorrow. If they see police, they are afraid. If they see this one, they are afraid. They are never secure. Praise the Lord. The love of money puts you under pressure. Praise the Lord. Getting wealth becomes easy when pleasing God becomes easy for you. Becoming wealthy, becoming prosperous. There's a difference between prosperous and being rich. I choose to be prosperous than to be rich. Because when you are prosperous, you supersede rich. Praise the Lord. A rich man is limited. A prosperous man is unlimited. Praise the Lord. And that is why the Bible talks about the patriarch. It said, and he was prosperous in cattle. He was prosperous in this. He was prosperous in that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If a man way pleases the Lord will make the things that pleases the man to be accessible unto him. And if a man pursue after money at the expense of his salvation, at the expense of God, he will have financial pressure. And that is what produces robbers, prostitutes, Yahoo, and all these things that we see around today. Because people seek after money, and not after the owner of the money. It says, the cattle upon the thousand hills are mine. The gold and the silver are mine. He forms the earth. He creates the earth. I've once heard the story of the owner of one of the biggest pharmaceutical companies in the world. One of the biggest. Still one of the biggest. Sometimes ago used to be number one, but not number one now, but still one of the biggest in the world. The man decided from his own income that accrued to him from the company to give 10%. And the more he 10% as his tithe, God blesses him, the more he says, ah, if this is how it works, he increased it to 20. The team began to expand the more. 30, expanded the more. Then he moved from 30 to 90. Said, I will give God 90 and I will take 10%. Should I shock you? At a point, this man was the richest man in the world. Stupendously rich. And he was given 90%. Brethren, let me shock you. God honor his words. You cannot seek after God and seek after money at the same time. You cannot seek after God and seek after mammon. No, doesn't work that way. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Good health, long life, prosperity, good wife, good husband, good academic result. Whatever you want will be added unto you. And I prophesy to somebody this evening that as you seek after the Lord will open the windows of heaven unto you and pour out his blessings upon you in the name of Jesus. The love of money is what brings about all sorts of evil and puts those that seek after it under pressure. You will never be under financial pressure in the name of Jesus. You know, I don't know if you have seen a dog that you tie the tail, especially those ones with very small tail, tie the tail and put the meat there. You see, the dog will be going around in a circle. Won't be able to eat the meat. That's how people that chase after the love of money are. They go in circle. Still, they won't get. May you pursue after God and get all that you desire in the name of Jesus. Number what now? Number 7. We started from number 1 last week. Number 7 is laziness or slothfulness. There's an animal called sloth. Very sluggish. very sluggish. As the day myself and my kids were washing the animal, and one of my kids said, "Daddy, why is this thing moving this way?" I said, "Because the name is sloth. The thing is so slothful. And if you touch it something, it will crawl back. Very slothful. Even eating, slothful and ugly. Slothful and ugly. Praise the Lord. Laziness is a killer. And God does not bless emptiness. God blesses the work of our hand. So if you are not doing anything, there is nothing for God to bless and to multiply. Jesus Christ did not multiply emptiness when he multiplied the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. There was something to multiply. So if there is nothing doing, if you are lazy, you cannot be blessed. Let me shock you. Hard work does not kill. In my place, they say, hard work is the medicine for sufferness. Ishalo Ogunse. The awure for prosperity is work. I don't know the English for awure, so pardon me. Praise the Lord. I don't know the English, so pardon me. Lazy man has no future. A lazy attitude towards work will leave a person in financial pressure. Many people see work as necessary evil, but this is wrong. Work will make you escape financial pressure. The Bible says, look at the book of Proverbs, chapter 13, verse 4. The soul of the diligent shall be made fat. The soul of the diligent, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. In other words, he that is hardworking, it's not that you are going to increase in size and become big. No. The Bible is saying that you will enjoy goodness. You will enjoy prosperity. And you know, when our president said Nigerian youths are lazy, a lot of people criticize him. They say all sort of things about him and say this and that. But I tell you, though not all Nigerian youths are lazy, but a considerable number of Nigerian youths are lazy. You go to certain places, you meet youth early in the morning, sit down with rapper and be drinking. You have not seen before. Go to Niger Delta. If you go to some places, you see youth in the morning, they will be doing chemistry. You go to the north, you see them. Youth! Able body, not disabled. They'll be sniffing codeine. Yeah. They're there plenty. Doing nothing. An average youth does not want to work, but want to ride G-Wagon. And that's why we have so many evil. A young lady who cannot sweep her room wants to use iPhone 6. You already know what that person can do. Want to wear Brazilian hair or Peruvian hair. There's nothing bad in having those things. But the point is,
hard work. When you work and you receive the reward of your hard work and you want to enjoy yourself, why not? You know, many years ago, I used to do something. I didn't tell my wife initially, but I later told her, and she followed me to enjoy it. The thing small. For wisdom made me to change again. When I collect my salary, a friend of mine introduced me to something. The bank where we used to collect our salary, there's the best restaurant in that city beside the bank. Just a fence dividing them. So when we collect our salary, this is my friend, a pharmacist. We go to the place and we sit down and we eat sumptuous meal and step it down with cool drink. So, and he will come back to the office and be smiling. So one day I said, "You're always smiling." Nah, there's something I used to do. And he told me, I said, "Oh, so next month, collected my salary. I also branched in. Asked the woman, 'Do you have pan de yam?' She said, 'Yes.' I said, 'Okay, give me a bowl. And give me fresh fish.' She gave me fresh fish pepper soup. Big one. When I saw the fish, I was scared. And I sat down, devoured the thing, washed it down with 1 liter of juice. I got to the office, I started sleeping. And they asked me what happened. I said, I've just enjoyed my salary. So I used to do that for a couple of months. Then one day my wife asked me that, something is happening that I don't know. Because whenever you come home after collecting your salary, you say, 'Unjege kere ni ke fu mi.' So I told her, I said, this is what I used to do. She said, next month we are going together. So the following month, I called her, I said, "There, meet me, I have collected the thing." And we went there and we enjoyed. So hard work. I tell you, it was hard hand money. In the organization, you work your heart out. You work like. So, brethren, when you are hardworking, you can enjoy the result of your hard work. But when you are lazy and you see hard work as evil, you are going to work under financial pressure. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24, that the hand of the diligent shall bear rule. If you don't want to have financial pressure, you must be serious with your work. You need to ask yourself if you are adding value to your life or you are just consuming life. Are you adding value to life or you are consuming life? Brethren, you need to understand that laziness kills. And I want to tell you some signs of laziness. Number one is, lazy people love their bed more than going to work. How many of us agree with me? There's one advert they used to play on the local radio here in Ilorin. One very funny advert. I used to laugh anytime I listened to that advert. The man, the woman would say, my husband, you are still sleeping at this time. And he said, I will not wake up today. The sun has not come out. How many of you know that advert? Oh, Roti, you're so there, see? Then he would say, the woman would say, "Balay me. As you roll somebody new way, Ole, Imele, Kimanjake, and Tegbe." Laziness is Ole. Imele is slothfulness. And that will make you not to be equal to your mate. You cannot be living a lazy life and you are envy somebody who is hardworking. It does not gel. You know, there are people like that. Somebody that is hardworking and is driving a G-Wagon. Somebody that works 18 hours in 24 hours. And somebody that sleeps 18 hours in 24 hours is envying the person that works 18 hours in 24 hours. Can they have the same results? No! Work does not kill. Work improves. Don't you ever say work does not kill. Proverbs 26:14. As the dog turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. May you not be slothful in the name of Jesus. Number two, lazy people always look for excuses. That's 7B now. Lazy people look for excuses for not doing things. A lot of time, many of us find excuses. Those that work with me know that excuses don't work with me. If you are working with me, you can ask engine and some people that work with me, ask Oshola, SCC doesn't work with me, and it doesn't work with Papa also. Recently, me and somebody were talking about Papa, and the person was like, sir, I don't know why this man doesn't get tired. I said, the reason why he doesn't get tired is because he's hardworking, and he has a goal, and he has a mission that must be accomplished. You see, if you're a lazy man, you can't work around some people. That's the truth. If you're a lazy person, you can't stay in my house. You can't. I won't drive you, but you drive yourself. You definitely drive yourself. Because by the time I wake up 4 a.m., you're sleeping, I'll come and kick you. You have to get up. Can I be working? You are sleeping. It's not possible. It's not possible. But you see, people, 25 years old man, sleeping 14 hours, start from 10, then we sleep till 6, and wake up by 6, brush his teeth, do one or two things, and go back to bed at 9. Say, let me catch a nap, just a nap. I wake up by 12, and say, oh, I don't know the day is far gone, do one or two things. Then by 4, afternoon nap, sleep again. You total everything 16 hours, and he says, I'm poor. Poverty has not come. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 13. The slothful man seeth, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the city. It is slothfulness that makes you to imagine things that are not real when it comes to work. If I do this work, my neck will break. If I do this work, my back will break. It is laziness. You know, sometimes ago, somebody has been disturbing me, get a job for my son, get a job for my son. And I said, man, can this boy do the work we do where I'm working? He said, he can do it. He's able, he's that. Actually, the guy is able, and I got the job, and I lobbied the people in the production department, put the guy in one of the places that I feel is the coolest part, you know, easy work, just do some easy work. And I went to lobby again, I said, after 2 weeks, you help me to push him inside AC, where it will be AC, temperature in that room must not exceed by standard 22 degrees Celsius, it must never exceed that, because of what is being done there. And the boy came the first day, and he worked the first day. And the second day, and the admin officer came to me and said, people in so-so place are complaining that they can't meet their target. I said, why? He said, because they are short of one person. I said, who? The boy you brought? I said, Then I picked my phone, I called. The person you are calling is not answering. If you want to leave a message after this tune, then I dropped the phone. Call, nothing. And after about 2 days, I saw the mother. I said, what happened to so person? He said, when he got home, he could not stand up. He was working like this. I have to massage the back. His hand is paining him. Is this? I said, Let me shock you. The Socrates is safe for my age. We have a substantial number of years. That particular work, I've done it several times. And there are people in this church that are looking at me that have done the same work. They are here, they are looking at me. And they are looking fine. In fact, they are looking nice. He didn't kill them. It's laziness. That makes somebody to say, if I do this work, my hand will break. My neck will break. The lion is on the street. There is no lion. It is laziness. Number three, lazy people always wait for perfect conditions before they work. They will wait until everything is right, until I get a job where I can sit in AC. Three, a six-digit salary. I will not work. I used to have a brother like that. Said he must work in the bank. And it's a graduate. Good result, good degree. From one of the most prestigious universities, if I mention the name, all of you, they are one of the most prestigious universities in the country. I must work in the bank. We got him a small job. He said, it is a bank. First year, second year, third year, fourth year, fifth year, sixth year, seventh year. I called him one day. I said, you are lazy. I told him, you are lazy. All these years, if it is something you have started, you would have moved. You would have moved the ladder. And there was another person in this same family who started as a casual worker in an organization, and today is an ogre, and it's not a graduate. If I mention his salary, banker will be envious. Started as a casual, about the same time, from the same family.
brethren, lazy, you don't wait for the perfect condition to do certain things, because the conditions may not be perfect. It is you that will make it perfect for you to produce a perfect result. You have been given a task. You said, they did not give me this, they did not give me that. It is laziness. Get to the field and work and produce the result, and the result will give you what you needed. Praise the Lord. Number four, lazy people don't finish what they have started. Lazy people will start something and they will not finish it. And they will say, because of this, because of that. Proverbs chapter 26 verse 15. The slobber hideth his hand in his blossom, and it grieveth him to bring it out to his mouth. Can you imagine? Even to put the thing to eat is wala. If you are a slothful person, you are a dangerous person. Do you know lazy people are dangerous people? That's one of the reasons why if you are lazy, you can't be around us. You can't be around us. It's not possible. You know why? Lazy people are dangerous people. Because you that is working, when you are having results, they will be envious of your results. And jealousy will start. And bitterness and hatred will come in. And the devil can use them against you. If you are a lady here, you are dating a guy, and the guy is always giving excuses. He doesn't want to work. Don't continue. Yeah. You make this suggestion and say, I cannot do it. You make this other offer, I cannot do it. There are people like that. I cannot do this, I cannot do that, I cannot do this, I cannot do that. You expect me, a whole graduate to be doing that kind of work. And there are graduates who are doing the same work, and from there God has promoted them. There's a man, one of our members in this church, who started a work as a security guard in a particular organization. Before he left that organization, I think he was a supervisor or a manager. Before he left. If most of the rich people that we envy today, if they tell you their history. I used to have one boss, a boss of mine, a billionaire, not a millionaire, a billionaire. If I tell you the net of this man, you'll be shocked on a monthly basis. I'm not saying gross, I mean net. It's in hundreds of millions in this same Nigeria. One day he told me, he said, do you know I've sold newspaper before? Do you know I've worked in a bakery before? Cleaning pan to make bread. And I used to take bread home, and that is what we would eat as a secondary school boy. After secondary school, he said, do you know that I used to help people wash cars at car wash before gaining admission into the university? He first went to the polytechnic, then the university. Today he's a billionaire. If he didn't tell you, you won't see it written on his face. And I tell you, this man is hardworking. Number five, a lazy person is a problem to his employer and colleagues. I talked about that earlier. It will be a problem. Lazy person will be a problem. So a lazy person can't stay around people like us. Why? Because they will create problem. As vinegar, Proverbs 10:26, as vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eye, so is the sluggard to them that send him. Can you see that? Vinegar is acetic acid. It's an acid. As it is to the eye. And smoke, pepper smoke to the eye. So he's the sluggard to the person that sent him. May you not be a sluggard in Jesus' name. Number six, laziness causes decay of project and assignment. Laziness, procrastination. You know, when you procrastinate in doing things, you increase the cost of that thing. If you're doing a project, say, do this project. You say, yes, sir, we'll do it. How many days? 5 days. Then in 5 days, you say, sir, give me 10 more days. 10 more days, 20 more days, 20 more days, 40 more days. The cost of that project keeps increasing. So if you are doing any project, I learned one thing from Papa. I used to tell my wife. One day my wife said, I change you. I said, it's father taught me. He said, before, not that I don't want to do, but I want to first sit down, analyze, reanalyze, crystallize, elucidate, sleep over, bring the thing down, bring it up, check for every loophole, make it perfect before executing. So that delays. And my wife doesn't like it. She's the... So when I started moving closer to Papa and working, Papa is the type that, I want it, do it, stretch. And I tell you, it works. So I started practicing. I started learning. And I tell you, it increased my efficiency. Those that procrastinate can never be efficient. Efficiency is measured by quality and timeliness, not by quantity. Efficiency is measured by timeliness and quality. Praise the Lord. So you must be fast. Assignment given to you must be completed on time, on schedule. If not, you increase the cost and you cause problem for people that have sent you. Number eight, now, irresponsibility. A lot of people are irresponsible. Every man who is irresponsible to his family, his wife, his children, his parents, his church, cannot escape financial pressure. This is because masculinity is responsibility. Femininity is caring. And caring is hard work. To care for people is not easy. To nurse a baby, I think it's easy. Nurse a baby. You know, some people will give birth to one baby and they will have 3 hours help. Yeah. You've not seen. Ah, 2 hours help. Grandma, husband will bring one. Grandma, proper will bring one. Friend will bring one. Just one baby. And the madam of the house will sit down. And you are feeding the 3 people. You are caring for them as well. God help you. Some of them decide to go to school. You are paying school fees. And God now help you. One of them is a glutton that eats a lot. Feeding allowance will not be enough. And you put the man under pressure. The money you are giving is no longer enough. Who sent you? One baby. There's nothing bad in having house help. But what is not needed is not needed. Have you not seen families that want to do naming ceremony? Everybody in the entire family will come and sit down for 2 months. And they are eating. It's lack of being responsible. Can you go and sit down in somebody else's house because the person has given birth for 2 months? You say, our back home. You've not seen it. It's happening. Our back home. And they are there. There are people that behave that way. And there are people, a man that works, that is not responsible, doesn't give chop money, doesn't care for how the wife lives, doesn't care for how the children live, school fees will not pay, nothing. That person will be under financial pressure. We'll see now. Praise the Lord. A man has responsibility to take care of his or her family, to provide for his or her family. A woman has the responsibility to keep the home and the family. And when this is not done, it attracts the curse of God, which will affect his finances. Turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. Praise the Lord. But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. And you know, the blessings of God can never be upon an infidel. It's not possible. So such a person will operate under what you call in Hebrew, tishla, which is hard ground. The heaven and the ground will be hard under such a person. And that person will be walking on salted land, will be sowing into salted land. It's only hard trees that grow in salted places. Do you see trees growing near the ocean? Because it's salty. So the person will be sowing, but the thing will not germinate and bring forth fruit. Because the person's ground is salted and is cursed. So if you're a man, you don't provide for your own house. You are here, you are watching us on the internet. I want to challenge you today. You can break yourself loose from such. There are men that will collect their salary, and they will use 60% on drink and pepper soup. And they will not remember the wife and the children. And the woman will be laboring. And the woman will be suffering. And the woman will be crying. That man cannot be blessed. You know why? Because the woman is not happy with that person. Turn with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Likewise, ye husband, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So when you are a man, when you don't honor your wife, when you don't treat your family well, your prayers cannot be answered. Praise the Lord. The people that do search, the Bible refers to them as infidels. Not only your wife and your kids. What about your parents? Both biological parents and spiritual parents. You have a responsibility towards them. And an irresponsible person will always work under financial difficulties. If you don't reach out to your parents, both spiritual and biological, you cannot be blessed. There are certain blessings that parents transfer to their children. Sometimes when you buy something for the grandmas and the grandpas, it's not that most of them don't even need what you are buying for them. That's the truth. My own father is close to 90 years old. So if I buy a laptop for my father now, does he need it? Laptop, solid one, iMac. He doesn't need it. He will thank me, receive the time, be using it to wash Nollywood. That's all. It's of no value to him. And if I decide not to do anything to reach out to him and he dies and I kill 10 cows, buy the best casket, it's of no value. It's of no value. But if I do the things that pleases him and he prays and blesses me, I tell you, God honors such blessings. Ayemada, you will be blessed. Among your mate, you will be the head. Sometimes when I do certain things and they start blessing, I don't stop them from blessing. I say, oh yeah, more at me. This morning, my mom did that. So I was driving, my wife was looking at me, the Akilonshele, and we're talking, and it got to a point, she started pouring the blessing. I said, at me. Eshema, thank you, ma'am. And me, I tell you, it's because I'm performing some functions. If I'm not, you won't be doing that. And likewise, spiritual parents. I was talking with somebody, I said, look, some of our spiritual parents, they don't need what we give to them, but we need what they carry. And to assess what they carry, you have to sow seed so that it can germinate forth, and it is their blessing that brings the increase. Brethren, it is at the height of irresponsibility when you don't give to your spiritual fathers and mothers. It's a height of irresponsibility. That's the truth. They are not begging. That's the truth. But I tell you, as God blesses you, reach out. Reach out. The Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother so that it might be what? It might be well with thee. And you may fulfill your days. That word well means so that you might prosper. The same meaning as the word prosper. Please, tonight, if you have not reached out to your parents, maybe in 2 months, 3 months, you have not even sent a call, please do so. Mommy, Monique, Kiyini, Shedada Lewa. Hope you are fine. Hope you are doing well. How is your health? And I pray that as we do this, our heavens will be open in the name of Jesus. My counsel to us tonight is love God passionately and consistently. That's number one. And have a God-first lifestyle. Number two, don't be lazy at all costs. Work hard, work well, work smart in whatever assignment that you are given. I take that again. Don't be lazy at all costs. Work hard, work well, work smart in all your assignments and whatever you find your hands to do. Number C is live a responsible life. Behave responsible always. Don't live irresponsible. Don't waste and squander your resources anyhow. Manage your resources very well. Plan your resources very well. Invest your resources properly. And as you do this, you will be blessed in the name of Jesus. But last but not the least, I tell you, the heaven for divine blessings cannot be opened upon you if you are a sinner. If you are still committing sin, if you are still living in sin, if you are still doing things that does not please God, you cannot assess the blessings of God because the heavens will be closed unto you.
Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website, www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org.